Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheeta Crawford. So let's begin tonight's program by asking for God's blessing. Abba, Father, we worship you as the God of all gods, our supreme being. Thank you for saving our souls. We lift up to your throne these particular prayer requests I now hold in my hand. With Satan's holiday fast approaching, we ask a divine protection over all the innocent children as we pray for their safety, and may their parents stand firm against the evil entities looking for an open door to access their minds. We ask for favor in our finances as we plead the blood of Jesus over this ministry and others who are also being challenged to make ends meet. Lord, we recognize that in and of ourselves we are helpless, but with you we can do all things. So as the bride of Christ, we stand on your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, and soon you'll be calling us home. We pray this in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Well, in the Middle East news, tensions mount, and now Israel and Russia have agreed to share information to avoid clashes in the skies over Syria.
How does this affect the United States, especially since it's been reported that we are still providing aid to the very rebels that Russia is bombing?
That's a good question, and honestly, that is still left to be seen. But there has been some talk that President Obama has even threatened Putin with sending more arms to the Ukrainians to fight Russian sympathizers. A little tit for tat. Everything is a mess. Even John Kerry stated that there does not seem to be a military solution. And he said, we need a political one. So he is meeting all week with surrounding countries in hopes of coming to a solution. But I don't see how, since Saudi Arabia, Jordan, the UAE insists that Assad must go, and Russia, Iran, and China insist he must stay.
So, who will be the one to step in and bring that peaceful agreement?
Well, we could be that close, so probably the future Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel's wielding knife attacks by the Palestinians against any Jew nearby is still escalating. And now, if you even look suspicious, you can be assaulted as well. And the Israeli government has suggested that Jews carry a weapon to protect themselves. They're putting up more barriers, and more checkpoints are being implemented. And meanwhile, the 80-year-old Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, along with France, say he can no longer control the younger jihadists, and so is asking for the UN army to step in to patrol the Temple Mount. Well, as you might guess, Netanyahu says no way. Kerry says, well, not yet. We'll see, since the UN leader visited Israel today.
I understand the refugee problem is astronomical.
It continues. Turkey has already let in 2 million. And now that Russia has increased its airstrikes, more are still trying to come in. We've got Austria, Serbia, Croatia, Slovenia, and even Germany. And Germany has already taken in at least 1 million. But they now have severely limited new arrivals. And then you can add the refugees fleeing from Afghanistan now as well to the mix. But most are pretty desperate people. Some with just the clothes on their backs, and those with some money and goods is depleted quickly by high pricing and robbers along the way. So by the time they get anywhere, it's almost impossible to get reestablished.
A very sad situation. May God forgive us forever complaining about anything.
Oh, I second that. Just a couple more additions that you might not have heard about. In some states in India, they are experiencing civil wars between the religious Hindus and the secular ones. And it's over the killing of cows, which you might know the religious say are very sacred and could be a reincarnation of a family member. And then the other side is the secularists, who want to slaughter the cows to sell the meat for high profit. And of course, even the weather is showing its force. Look at the typhoons in the Philippines and the mudslides in California. And even the early snow over the weekend, like 9 inches in Syracuse, New York.
And then back to 70 degrees here in Burton, Ohio.
Which I really like. But yes, strange weather patterns. Now, before we continue, I do want to make mention that I do really appreciate your comments and your questions. And I will respond either on the program, by email, or even over the phone, should you leave your number in a detailed message. So, Dan, please tell our listeners how they can contact us.
Yes, our email is Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for future newsletters and updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. where the many past radio and teaching letters are archived for your added learning. Every first Friday of the month, Shofar Assembly meets for worship and an end-time Bible study, so make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
That's right. And before we get into the main topic, I want to make a comment on next year's presidential election that you will not hear me talk much about, since I feel that once the candidates, if not before the primary, certainly by the primaries, have already been bought and paid for by the global elite. So, I just want to make an interesting prediction.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. I surmise that Joe Biden will enter the race, and here's why. Obama does not want Clinton to win the primary, because if she would do all in her power to have the election on time so she would be president. But I think Obama wants to declare martial law so that he can remain president, where Clinton would pull all her power from high places to be sure Obama would not delay the election.
Oh, so that's why Obama called in the FBI to investigate her, where he wouldn't have had to do that.
Right. In fact, he's the only one who could have done that, from what I understand. Well, time will tell, and we will see. But that's my suspicions.
Makes sense, actually.
Also, many of the candidates have Jesuit training, just wanted to bring that up, including Donald Trump and even his eldest three children. I'll go to Jesuit schools. And now Canada just had their election yesterday, and now Justin Trudeau, who is also Jesuit trained and a liberal, is now the prime minister.
The past prime minister, Harper, was pro-Israel.
Right. And from what I see, Justin is more pro-Palestinian. But again, he seems to be in office just in time to collaborate with his liberal friend, Barack Obama.
Okay, better move on to our important topic tonight.
Yes, and it is important. And I've talked on this before, but the Lord impressed on me the need to share once again the importance of good Bible study in order to lead a victorious Christian life, especially today amongst all the evils that surround us. And I do get asked this quite often. What is the best Bible to study from? And that's an honest question, and I remember asking it as well early on in my Christian walk. The standard answer has always been a King James Study Bible, and still is for many. But I've noticed in the last, say, 15 years, that others, especially new believers, have a real hard time enjoying the Old English style of dialect and do avoid the study of it. And that's not a good thing. And it's because of these last busy days of running to and fro, and with all the technology that often invades our time, It is hard enough for people to sit down and study God's Word, much to their shame, but it is even more difficult when one evades it and does not have that passion that is needed. For without the passion, evil can have its way and often plays with one's mind. So, the next choice, in my opinion, is the New King James. Not only is it easier and more enjoyable for new believers to read and properly understand, but it has also corrected the 2% errors that the King James has in its translation. Yes, believe it or not, there are a few errors, as in Acts 12:4, where the King James has the word Easter instead of Passover. So, anyway, I use the New King James, and again, they all have some flaws, but there are others that have flaws on a higher level, especially the corrupted NIV, which you should never use. And I will give you a few examples, and then I'll move on to how to properly study your Bible. A very powerful verse in Acts 8:37 of the NIV is totally removed. And that's about the importance of believing in Jesus before getting water baptized. It's totally gone. The same with Matthew 17:21. Now, if you have a pencil, please take down the scriptures. You can look them up later because I'm going to be going pretty fast here. Matthew 17:21, where Jesus says that some demons are better casted out when one prays and fasts. That's totally gone. Also, Matthew 18:11, completely removed. And that's the one that says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Matthew 23:14, again, completely removed, where it says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive greater condemnation." So, I don't want to run out of time, and I'm just going to give you now the other scriptures that you need to check out for yourself. But these next verses have all been removed from the NIV. Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, and Mark 16:19-20, all 12 verses. Luke 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 15:34, Acts 24:7, Acts 28:29, Romans 16:24, and 1 John 5:7. If you really want these, you'll have to listen to the taped program that should be on my webpage, hopefully tomorrow or the next day. But anyhow, you get the point. And now I will share with you how I study and how a new believer can study as well. New believers should just sit down and read the Bible once through. First, to get a scope of the message. That's imperative. And actually, this can be done over one weekend. Mm-hmm. The Bible on CD is fine, but it's better if one reads along with it, so the word goes through your own eye gate as well. To only listen might cause your mind to wander and not be as effective in applying the armor of God, which only comes on by reading the word. You can't pray it on. Okay, after the complete reading, then it's time to study with diligence to show yourself approved, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Because of some translational biases, it is imperative that you have two books to help aid you. A concordance, usually the Strong's, because it matches the King James, and it's so close with the New King James as well. The other is an interlinear, which is the Hebrew Masoretic text with the Textus Receptive Greek. This includes the English words directly written underneath. And it also gives the Strong's dictionary number on the top of each word. I use the Interlinear by Sovereign Grace Publishers, translated by J.P. Green. And I'll tell you what, when I first bought mine, it was like $100. It's come down to about $40 on Amazon. So, most scholars agree that these, the Masoretic and the Textus Receptus, are the closest to the original text. For the main reason is that it was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Hebrew was found word letter by letter in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And, of course, that's the text that the Essenes used way back then and hid it so we could find it later. And to know, it's the best original. And, of course, that had to be all orchestrated by God, that they would hide it and we would find it. And as a kicker, even the Bible codes confirms that it's the original, which is another whole study in itself, which I might share with you someday. But that's what truly clinched it for me. And isn't it like God to make sure that would be the case? I know many like to use their computers to study, but we all agree we spend too much time looking at these screens with these cell waves all around us. So take a break and use the books too. Write in your Bibles. That's important. Okay, so therefore I suggest always sitting at a table with your extra books, a good study Bible which will help with the historical aspect. Then take a book of the Bible and begin to read. And then try to pick out one word in each verse to look it up in the Strong's Exhaustive Dictionary. And exhaustive just means there's a dictionary in the back. So make sure you purchase one that says exhaustive. And it has every word defined. And then always have an ongoing spiral notebook to write down what the word means. Often that word will take you deeper than what you otherwise would see by casual reading. Let me give you a classic example. When I looked up the word hope, H-O-P-E, in 1 Timothy 5:8, here's what it says. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Well, when I read that, that stood out because I'm thinking, the hope of salvation? I don't just hope it, I know it. So I looked it up. And hope was number 1680, the Greek word elpis, and it said the confidence of salvation. Now that's huge. Because to us today, hope means you're not sure of it. So you can see with just that great example how studying is so important for real growth towards sanctification. The other suggestion is when you see a small A, B, or C next to any of the words in the verse, look in the center of the side column and it will show you where else to read that complements the verse that you are in right now. In other words, it's comparing scripture with scripture, which proves to be very beneficial. You know, the Holy Spirit will take you on an adventure. Go with it and enjoy where He's taking you. And be sure you're not on a time schedule. And I recommend 2 hours so you're not looking at your watch all the time. And I'm often asked too, well, what else can enhance our studies? And you could also have a picture dictionary. Those are always nice to have. And, of course, lexicons, which is a deeper study. And it doesn't define every word like the Strong's does, but the more essential words and defining them according to the context of the chapter. And that's really very vital if you're going to go on into teaching the Bible. And the interlinear should always be compared as well before teaching on in the Bible. Okay? So, the main thing is to look up words. Keep a notebook or diary of the important things you learn. What really spoke to you in that chapter? You might need those notes someday when sharing with others. And I very much enjoy writing in my wide margin Bible. You can get the wide margins now so you can take your own notes. Someday I'm going to leave to my children. I already have my kids asking for it in my will. So it's a great inheritance is what I'm trying to say. So I do like a verse-by-verse study over a topical study. And it's mainly for context. Because eventually you will cover all the topics anyway and not just the ones you like. Although alongside your studies, enhancement comes when you learn your Hebraic roots. And in fact is extremely helpful for proper hermeneutics, as in the customs, the feasts, the idioms, the first century common phrases like the last trumpet, in that day, etc. Which is why I guess I do these programs, to help you in this area. Now I will leave with you one last example of why we should study his word. Jesus' words in Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And I get this too much, and you probably hear it too. Don't judge me, you know? When you look up the word judge, it's the word krino, number 2919. And it means to condemn, to punish. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't be so quick to tell someone they are going to hell, for it's not your place to condemn, because no one knows for sure who will be saved, even on their deathbed. Unfortunately, others have taken it to mean we are not supposed to call out anyone's immoral behavior because they tell us you can't judge them. This is deception, and the devil is happy. Now, Jesus did say in John 16:11, the ruler of this world is judged already. He's condemned. So we can accurately say the devil will rot in hell. But never should we say that about someone else. And that's what Jesus means in Matthew 7:1. Rather, does the word say that we should be silent, tolerant? Not at all. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. 2 Timothy 4 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, which means reprove, rebuke, admonish, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. And you see it right today. They heap up for themselves teachers who will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's today, my friends. Let me ask you, is Jesus Christ Lord over your life? Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And I say this every week, but how do you know that you're to be sure? If Jesus is your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know him more, with a passion to be in his word, to be in his presence, in his word, for he is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's that simple. Just do it. Put the time aside. And the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:27, Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'yunecha, Yasa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, that's Jerusalem, shall prosper. That's from Psalm 122, verse 6. See you next time. God bless and have a good week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.